Welcome to the Sunday morning broadcast of the South Carolina Fellowship of the Fishermen Ministry. If you would like to support this ministry and our programs, please go to our website at www.thefishermenministry.org and click the donation button on the site. Thank you for your support.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Sunday morning service for the Fishermen Ministry in South Carolina. Let's sing praises to the Lord. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for bringing us together today. We thank you for bringing us all home safely from Texas, and we ask that you watch over those that still have not yet made their journey home. We pray that for those of us that are still battling this sickness, that you will just get rid of it. Heal us up, make us well, and let's all move forward and away from this. And we ask, Lord, that you please be with those ministering your word today, that you give them the words that you have for us to hear, and you give us the ears to hear and the hearts to receive. In your name we pray. Amen. Come, let us worship and bow down.
Praise the Lord. Well, good morning, everybody. Wanted to turn over to Luke 9 and start reading at 57 today. And it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And he said unto another, Follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Jesus said unto him, Let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go and bid them farewell, which are at home at my house. And Jesus said unto him, No man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. Now, we just came off ministers' convention. Praise God. I think each of us received something there, and if you didn't, well, you're doing something wrong. And one of the things that was talked about there was no more games. Just remember that? No more games. Quit playing around. Get rid of the games. Far too often, I, and I'm sure others, start something, and then you decide, oh, it's not worth it, or this is taking up too much time, or maybe this isn't as fun as I thought it would be. So you stop doing it, whatever it might be. Might be something like learning Spanish. I started learning Spanish. Yeah, Phil says guitar for him. You know, there's these things that we start because we're excited about them. And then they just fall away. Got me to thinking about follow through. If you watch sports, it's all about the follow through. Right? Whether it's golf, it's your follow through. Football, I know some of you like football. It's the follow through. It's how you get that ball where it needs to be. Hockey, it's the follow through on your shot. Athletes practice the follow through over and over and over again so that it's perfect. That's how you become an elite athlete. Soldiers practice follow through. I'm going to tell you, Christians need to practice follow through. Because it's the most important thing that you could follow through your entire life. Because if you perfect that follow through, you'll then have eternal life. As we were traveling back, we were staying in hotels every night. And I think it was the second to last hotel we stayed. Doesn't matter. It was kind of late. It was around midnight or so, and I was I wasn't sleeping. I was kind of wound up from all the driving. And I walked down to the lobby. I was going to go to the trailer and grab something, a snack or something or other out of the trailer. But as I was walking through the lobby, I saw the TV was on. Happened to be SportsCenter. I happened to know that baseball playoffs were taking place. So I moseyed over that way to see if I could catch some of the, you know, highlights of the game. That. And I walked in, and the desk clerk, I guess they'd be, you know, the person who works at the hotel, she was sitting there, and she was kind of reading the paper, and the TV was on, just hanging out, and she asked me if there was, you know, a problem. I said, no problem. Just, you know, couldn't sleep, so I'm walking around. She said, oh, I see. And as I just stood there, she just started speaking to me. She was telling me about, you know, her life, essentially. Her baby daddy, as she called him. I believe that would be her boyfriend. The father of her child, I guess, his baby daddy. And she was telling me about how she was going to be applying for another job the next day. And I had just asked simple questions, you know, nothing of any note. And she just continued to tell me about what she had going on. And the conversation came to a point where she wasn't really asking a question, but she was looking for an answer. And I asked her, I said, "Do you call yourself a Christian?" She said, "Yes, I do." "Well, when are you going to get rid of your attitude?" She just kind of stared at me like a deer in headlights. So I asked her again, "When are you going to get rid of your attitude?" And then she kind of chuckled. "Oh, I'm trying to get rid of my attitude. I know that's a..." I let her finish her little thing and I said, "Look, the reason why you need yet another job is because your attitude to your employers here. They're not giving you more hours because of your attitude. The reason why you're having trouble at home and you're laying a bad example for your son, as she described to me, is because of your attitude. You call yourself a Christian, but nothing that you've told me shows me that you're a Christian. You need to get rid of this attitude. You need to get rid of it right now." And she just stood there silent. I just went back to watching SportsCenter. 5 minutes or so passed and her replacement came. Her shift had ended. She started pulling things together, and as she left, she turned to me and she said, "Thank you. I needed that." She left. Now it's my hope, it's my prayer that she follow through. It's my hope and prayer that each and every one of you follow through, that I follow through. We don't get rid of this stuff. Remember the baggage at conference? If you had to pay for that baggage, you would have set it down long ago. But if you haven't set it down yet, now's the time. Set it down. Turn over to Luke. I'm going to stay in 9, go to 23. And he said to them all, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. For what is a man advantaged if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be cast away? For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed, when he shall come in his own glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels." If you're going to be ashamed of Christ and you're going to not follow through, the end for you is not a good one. It's about time that we took what we learned, not only at this conference, but at all the conferences previous, at all these services. If you got your nose in this book and you're learning about this book, it's time to put it to practice. It's time to move forward. There's no more if, ands, or buts. It's follow through or get out of the way. Amen.
Amen. Morning, everybody. As I'm sitting there prior to the service, contemplating the goodness of our God and the power of His gospel. Having listened to Scott, you know, we have a Savior that is the master of follow through. That which He committed to, He's true to ensure to perform. He's His deliverance, His healing, His faith, His salvation. To us is at hand. All you got to do is reach out and take it. What a great, merciful, and loving God is our God. I'm not going to say much up here because my voice is very tenuous and I won't consequently be long. But Colossians 3, if you be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. And if you be in Him, you sit there with Him. That's how thoroughly His performance is executed. Set your affection on these things above, not on things of the earth. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. At baptism, you rose up to new life, out of just like Jesus did on the third day. And if you be in Him, your life is hid with Him right next to the throne. And Him. Because that which He promised, He performs. And all you have to do is receive it. It's right there at hand. Partake in His love, walk in His faith. Experience His healing and His deliverance. In Jesus' name.
Thinking, they'll go a little bit longer, a little bit. I'm trying to get situated. Should have been situated. That was on me. Well, praise the Lord. You know, it's you were talking about that following through. That following through. And, you know, when I look, and Paul, you mentioned another good point where Jesus followed through. I mean, Jesus, he followed through all the way to the end. All the way to, man, when he was saying, you know, Lord, not my will be done, but yours. Father, not my will be done, but yours. To the point of striving against sin, he sweated blood. And the thing that we count on, the thing that we trust, was in his faithfulness. That faith he puts in us. Because I tell you right now, I mean, if I look at myself and my faithfulness and I'm going off that to save me, I'm done. It's already too late. You're hanging up. I might as well just go, I don't know, skydive without a chute, man. But that's not what we count on. That's not what we rely on. And if you take a look at that following through, look, it is one that, look, he's a gentleman. He's a gentleman. He's not going to make us to give up our life for his. He's not going to make us do anything. He's not going to make us believe him. See, that's a choice we make. We have free will. After he's given us the free will back, he's given us that freedom. But I look, if you look, I was reading in Matthew, and I was reading 5, 6, and 7 the other day, and I actually read it twice on the plane trip home. And, you know, I'm looking at that. And the freedom that the Lord has in all of that is just awesome. Just awesome. I think you were reading in 9 a little bit earlier there, Scott. And in Luke 9, forgive me. And I'm going to read that one more time. 9:24, for whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. And I was, as I was looking at that, and I was looking at 5, 6, and 7, and this kind of, the freedom that we have. I mean, when we try to save our life, I mean, it's like holding on to that baggage that you're talking about. It's like trying to hold on to all these things that burden us, that bag us down, that bind us up, that keeps us in bondage, and not in freedom. I mean, it really does. You know, because we're constantly trying to take care of ourselves. We're constantly trying to concern ourselves how we're going to pay this or what are we going to do next. And all these things, they just hit us like a ton of bricks when we're trying to do that. And the Lord says, sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Man, you got the day in front of you. Do what I say and don't worry about the rest, doesn't he? I mean, I tell you what, praise God. Praise God. I think I was sharing with Scott a little bit this morning. I was looking on the list of stuff that I had to do, and I was going, oh my gosh, oh wait. Sufficient until the day is the evil thereof. Thank you, Lord. God, today. Lord, what would you have me do today? And I go about doing that and watch all those things that are before me. What's important, what he'd have me done? Praise God, it'll get done. What's not important and won't get done? Not important, won't get done, or gets done at another time. But it's all about you serving the Lord, and you're free from all this stuff. The worry, the fear, the stresses, the situations, the circumstances. See, all these things is a bondage. They're a load on you. And the Lord's just, Lord's like, that's all mine, man. Serve me. Don't worry about the rest. Serve me. Don't worry about the rest. And we can get bound up so easy. It's so easy to look at these things, the circumstances, situations, and we can get bound up of how this is going to happen, how this is going to play out. when we really need to be doing, all we need to do in that circumstance and situation is, Lord, I'm going to serve you. It really just doesn't matter. Lord, I'm going to serve you. This situation collapses and it falls down. Huh. Then praise God. If Lord shows up somehow away and you rise above the situation and you fly right over it. Huh. Praise God. Glory to be to Him, right? It just really doesn't matter. It's just we need to become to that place where it's, Lord, not my will be done, but yours. And you trust solely on the faith that He's given you and what He has followed through in. Because, see, that's what covers. That's what washes. That's what needs to get magnified. Is His faith, what He has done. Now I look at, looking. I want to look at Matthew 11:29-28 actually. It says, "Come unto me, all ye that are labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you." And learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And that is so true. You just read the Beatitudes in 5, 6, and 7, man, it's like a freedom list. Of how He wants you to operate. I mean, it is like calming to me. I'm like, free from death. Free from all these things that consume the man on a daily basis in the world. You know, I was looking at, you know, when Linda's in her situation there, when that flooding happened. She got bound up a couple times. She was looking at the situation and going, how is this thing going to come be accomplished? How is this thing going to come by? And I remember telling her, saying, I believe the Lord would have us all out there, Linda, during the conference. And when she stopped looking at the situation and stopped looking at what she could do in the midst of these things and started looking at Jesus and what He has done and what He can do. You started seeing people move. It was an amazing thing that happened. Because all of a sudden, things started getting situated, and it turned out through that end of that week. And I tell you, through that week, it was hard for me. I was having some times going, I don't know how this thing's going to play out. But what you see was the Lord move mightily. And every little thing got worked out, and it was an open door for Linda to go to that conference, and it worked right out. But she had to come to that place where she looked at the Lord and what the Lord would have her do. It's time to drop all things, do what you could do, trust the Lord, go to the conference as the Lord paved the way for you to, and it worked out. In a mighty way. Some cracks and crevices here that's got to get switched out. And still the battle's still there to do. But who gets magnified in that? Jesus does. Because it wasn't Linda's strength that made all those things happen. Wasn't my strength that made those things happen. Wasn't Hope's strength that made these things happen. No, it was the Lord's strength and His power that made these things happen. And see, we need to keep our eyes set on Jesus and what He's able to do and what He has already done and what has He already accomplished and what He has put in us. And we need to believe and trust and solely on that. Because when we start putting our trust in other things and looking at situations and going about in unbelief, that's a burdensome thing. It sucks. I hate it. I've done it. It's terrible. But man, when we just turn our eyes upon Jesus, set our face like flint on Him, follow through on just believing Him no matter what's going on around you, it's amazing what He does. Absolutely amazing. And He gets all the glory. He gets glorified. You can see it. Well, who needs to be magnified? Jesus does, not you. You can't save nobody, not even yourself. But He can. So who is it that the people need to know? Him. It can't be built upon your righteousness, what you can do when all these things. It's got to be built on Him, man. If you're building your foundation on anything other than Jesus, it's going to fall down. It's going to break apart. You might still be standing, but praise God, you can build the foundation on the right one now. His burden is light. His yoke is easy, man. It is. And our tendency is to build over here on this thing that's just going to crumble and fall and get washed away when the storms blow. Well, when the wind blows, the storm comes, it shakes, it's going to fall, it's going to wash away. But you build a house on Jesus and what He has done, what He's put in you, and what He's able to do, that will stand. Nothing can come against God's Word. And it's a relief, not a burden. I tell you right now, if I was outside of Jesus and I was looking at myself to accomplish the things that are at hand, I'm done. I'm going to be exiting stage backwards, bro. Because I can't stand in that. But I can stand in Jesus. So let's not forget what we have learned in the conference. Let's humble ourselves. Let's be about His business. We're supposed to be His servants. Let's follow through with that. Let's trust Him. Let's stop looking at ourselves. Let's stop looking at the world. Let us stop looking at the situation. Let us put our eyes on Him. And don't grow weary or faint. He's already proven His love to us. And He's proven His love back there on the cross 2,000 years ago. But in our own testimony, in our own life, He's proven His love to us already. He's a loving Father. We can trust Him. We can't. I don't care what freaking situation you're in, what you're facing. Choose Jesus. Choose to serve Him. He'll give you what you need. He'll give us what we want most of the time. But He'll give us what He needs. He's a loving Father. If I'm evil and I can love my children, how much more is that perfect Heavenly Father? And if it's something you think you need, you don't get it, sometimes the answer is no, it's bad for you. And you'll go like 2 weeks later on going, man, I'm glad that didn't happen. That would have been terrible. Because He's a Father-loving Father. He knows what we need before we even ask. Let's embrace the freedom He's given us. Get on His plan. It's far better than what we ever came up with. Amen. I'm done.
You know, right when you started talking, Phil, I was sitting here praying, Lord, please give me some other song to sing because I have a new song for you guys today. Like, my voice just can't handle it. I can't do it. Show me some other song. Well, it's funny because you started reading in Matthew. The chorus of the new song is as follows. Come all ye weary, come and find. His yoke is easy, his burden light. He is able, he will restore at the table of the Lord. So I guess I'm singing it. Yes. And you're welcome to join me if you want, Phil. Thank you, everyone, for joining us.
You are listening to the Eagle Radio Network. Our programming is listener-driven. If you'd like to help support the Eagle Radio Network to be able to continue providing programming, please click the donate button located on our site at www.eagle-radio.com. Thank you for your support.